Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Porn Proofing, Today's Young Kids by Kristen A. Jensen is a children's education and parenting resource designed to help adults introduce the topic of pornography in a calm, age-appropriate way. Written as a read-aloud book for parents, grandparents, and caregivers, it aims to prepare young children for digital exposure before they encounter harmful material online. Rather than treating pornography as a subject to avoid, the book frames it as an important safety conversation that can be handled with clarity and confidence. Its approach combines simple language, child-friendly analogies, and basic neuroscience to explain why certain images are harmful and why children need an internal response plan. The book is especially relevant in an environment where online access is common and accidental exposure can happen early. Its main purpose is preventive, to reduce confusion, shame, and curiosity by giving children understandable tools and giving adults a practical way to begin the discussion. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a preventive parenting guide built around early conversation. The central idea of the book is that children should hear about pornography before they are exposed to it, not after. That preventive stance shapes the entire structure of the book, which is written to make a difficult conversation feel manageable for adults. Instead of assuming children will eventually learn to ignore harmful content on their own, the book argues that guidance must come early and directly. This is why the audience is primarily adults who care for children, especially those raising kids in a digital environment where exposure can happen unexpectedly. The book does not try to overwhelm readers with clinical detail. It focuses on giving families a starting point, a shared vocabulary, and enough context to talk openly. In practical terms, this makes the book less about explanation for its own sake and more about timing, readiness, and prevention. That emphasis distinguishes it from books that only react to problems after they appear. Secondly, using child-friendly language to define pornography without confusion. One of the book's most important functions is definitional. It explains what pornography is in terms young children can understand, while avoiding the vagueness that often leaves kids confused or curious. This matters because children who are not given a clear explanation may misclassify harmful images as ordinary media or as something they are supposed to keep secret. The book uses plain language and simple comparisons so that the concept is recognizable without becoming graphic. This balance is crucial if the explanation is too abstract. Children will not remember it. If it is too detailed, it risks being inappropriate for the intended age group. By keeping the definition simple and consistent, the book helps parents establish a clear standard for what children should avoid. It also reduces the burden on adults who may not know how to begin. The result is not just an introduction to a topic, but a practical language model that families can reuse in later conversations about media and online safety. Thirdly, explaining harm through simple neuroscience and brain protection. Another major dimension of the book is its effort to connect pornography exposure with brain health in ways children can grasp. Rather than relying only on moral warning, it uses simplified science to show that repeated exposure can shape habits, intensify curiosity, and interfere with healthy development. This approach is significant because it gives children a reason to avoid harmful content that is concrete rather than merely rule-based. The book is not a technical neuroscience text, but it borrows enough from brain science to make the danger feel real and understandable. For parents, this is useful because it reframes the conversation from shame to protection. The message becomes that children are not bad for seeing something harmful, but that their brains deserve guarding just like their bodies do. That framing can be more effective than fear alone, especially with young readers who respond better to clear cause and effect. It also helps adults explain why the issue matters, even before a child has any personal experience with pornography. Fourthly, the Kando Plan as a practical response script for accidental exposure. The book's most distinctive practical feature is its 5-point Kando Plan, which gives children a memorable response when they encounter pornography unexpectedly. This is important because prevention alone is not enough. Children also need a plan for the moment exposure happens. The value of the plan lies in its simplicity. Young children are more likely to remember a short, repeatable sequence than a long lecture about internet safety. By turning response into a clear routine, the book offers something like a safety drill for the digital world. That matters because accidental exposure often creates shock, curiosity, or embarrassment, and children may not know whether to look away, tell an adult, or stay silent. The plan helps replace hesitation with action. It also serves parents by reducing uncertainty about what to tell a child to do. In this way, the book functions not just as a warning but as a behavioral tool, teaching a concrete response to a realistic risk. Lastly, a resource designed to reduce parental awkwardness and support ongoing dialogue. The book's final important contribution is its usefulness for adults who want to address pornography but feel uneasy doing so. many parenting resources either assume a high level of comfort or present the topic in a way that feels too technical, too vague, or too intense for young children. This book deliberately lowers that barrier by using a read-aloud format, discussion prompts, and a structured approach that parents can follow without needing special training. That practical design matters because the hardest part of these conversations is often not the facts themselves, but the emotional hesitation around saying them. The book also supports ongoing dialogue rather than a one-time warning. By giving families a shared framework, it encourages repeated, age-appropriate conversations as children grow and encounter more media. This makes the book useful not only as an educational tool but as a parent resource for building trust, resilience, and communication around digital dangers. Its strength is that it turns an uncomfortable topic into a manageable family practice. In conclusion, Good Pictures. Bad Pictures porn-proofing today's young kids is best suited for parents, grandparents, caregivers, and educators who want a structured, age-appropriate way to address pornography before children encounter it. It is especially valuable for families with young children, navigating internet access, devices, and increasingly early exposure to online content. The book offers two practical benefits. At once, it helps adults find the words to begin the conversation, and it gives children a memorable response plan if they ever see something harmful. Its use of simple language and child-friendly science makes a difficult subject more understandable without making it feel trivial. Compared with many books on internet safety, it is more direct and specific in its focus. Compared with many books on sexuality, it is more preventive and more actionable. That specificity is what makes it stand out. It does not merely warn against pornography, but actively trains families to respond to it. For readers seeking a concise, realistic, and discussion-ready guide, it fills a rare and practical niche. If you would like to support Kristen A. Jensen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.